help me welcome our 10-minute speaker, Mary B. from San Luis Obispo.
Don't get too excited. I haven't said anything yet. Hi, everybody. I'm Mary, alcoholic. Glad to be here and glad to be sober. And I want to say it, Merry Christmas. I've been like dying to do that. And I love Christmas. I love the decorations, the smells, the songs, the everything about it, you know. And I've been driving around in my car with Christmas music on, I was telling somebody, because, you know, there's a lot of extra people out right now. People are out shopping and people are off work. I mean, it's crowded everywhere you go. I live in San Luis. And probably not crowded where our speaker's from, but in comparison, but it gets really frustrating. And so I decided to turn on the Christmas music and I sing. And I just sing the Christmas carols along with the radio out loud, and you know, it works. And you know, and I find myself pushing my way through the crowds and doing okay. And you know, because what has happened in the past is you gotta be really careful when you're out there and you misbehave in the car, you're gonna get caught. Because there's a lot of AA people out there. And I got caught. I thought one Christmas, a few Christmases ago, that I was going to run down to the Costco shopping center, and I looked, it's 4 o'clock, and I went, oh, I know this is a bad idea, but I really need to go down there. And I thought, just go. So I get in the car and I go, and sure enough, crowd is horrible at 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon in the Costco area in San Luis Obispo. I mean, it's like nuts. And I'm behind this woman who's behind a person who's behind a person, and I just can't take it anymore. And I honk, and I'm doing, what are you doing, like this. And I look over to my right, and at the corner over here is this guy pointing at me going, I saw you. It was Van, and caught me red-handed. And I'm like, oh my God. Every Christmas I think about it, so I stay away from Costco anytime. I go from like when they open at 9:30 till noon, and then that's cool. You know, otherwise I stay away. So anyway, I did say I'm a merry alcoholic, but it's like I'm so disappointed there are no newcomers in here sitting tonight, or maybe there's just no newcomers that are raising their hand. I just want to say, if you're here, it's Saturday night, you're sitting in an AA meeting, and if you're wondering if you're an alcoholic, think about that. It's Saturday night, and you're sitting in an AA meeting. You don't have to wonder anymore if you're an alcoholic or not. It's probably pretty clear. You know, I didn't go to AA on Saturday night for lack of anything else to do. You know, it was like, yeah, I'm going to go down and see what the local drunks are doing. Right? No. Especially because they're sober, you know, what are you going to do with them? Anyway, I have a sobriety date. It's January 21st, 1994. And I just have to say that it was like the power of God entered my life that morning and separated me from alcohol on January 21st, 1994. And I haven't had a drink or a drug that wasn't mine to take or use ever since that time. And I'm very careful. My sobriety is non-negotiable, and I'm very careful with it, and I respect it, and I respect Alcoholics Anonymous. And so, you know, it was that day that gave me the courage to say a prayer. I had, you know, I was one of those drunks that got in trouble a lot. I got caught, and I thought, B.B. King used to have this blues song called Born Under a Bad Sign. You know, you're born under a bad sign. If it wasn't for bad luck, you wouldn't have any luck at all. And I would just crank that up and just howl to it and drink at the same time. And my poor landlady downstairs, she was this nurse that was an OB nurse that worked at Sierra Vista Hospital. When I was sober, I'd think, oh my God, I wonder if she heard me. But she was so sweet. She never said anything, you know, and I kept doing it. Anyway, but, that morning, because I had been court ordered into AA several times, and I knew a little bit about it, and I knew they talked about prayer and higher power. And so I said a prayer that morning, and my prayer was, if there is a God, please help. I don't want to die. And that's all it was. And I didn't know if there was a God at that point in my life, and I didn't know if that God would help me. And I really did feel I was going to die. And that gave me just enough courage to pick up the phone. You know, I became willing for this long, just that long, to go pick up the phone. And I made a call for the first time in my life, and I asked for help. See, I don't want your help. I don't need your help. I take care of myself. I always have. I don't need you. Thank you very much. And that's the kind of attitude I had when I came in AA too. And so when I made that call, everything started to change at that point. I called and asked Gail. I said, I need help. I'm going to detox and I'm afraid. And she said, you're going to be okay. And I didn't know if I believed her. But I must have at some point, because that was the beginning of my journey into Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was asked to leave work, and my family was out of my life completely. And they're all local. And I thought, what am I going to do? And so I went down to this place and I detoxed for a few days, and they said, you got to go. You don't have any more insurance benefits. God, good luck and God bless you, Mary. And the little gal at the counter, as I'm walking by the door, she goes, and go to meetings. And I thought, that's the one thing I would never do. I didn't want to go to those AA meetings, you know, those people, those people. And I got back to San Luis Obispo, and I thought, you know, maybe I'll try AA. And I walked in the door the next day at the Alano Club. I met Lee there. I met Lee here. And that was over 31 years ago. And he was there already, and he was here already at this meeting. And I started my journey. And, you know, then not too long into that, a lady handed me her phone number. And this woman had four kids between 14 and 7. And she made time for me every week at her house to sit with her and take me through the steps one at a time. And we read the book, and we would go downtown and sit at Starbucks and drink coffee and watch people and talk, you know, and she always had time for me, and I was just astounded. And, you know, I had step 12 says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result. And that's exactly what happened. I had a spiritual awakening as the result of these 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I didn't know that was going to happen for me. You know, I go into the jails now. I've been going to jail for years, and I'm the coordinator, and I go in and I tell those girls, there's a way out. I got it. I know it. I know there's a way out, and I can tell you about it if you want to hear about it. And, you know, that's my favorite commitment. And recently, I've seen four of the gals from jail hanging out in San Luis Obispo in meetings, and I tell you what, that just makes my heart sing, because, you know, they're going to die. I was going to die, because this is a deadly disease. And, you know, I wasn't going to say it, because my time's almost up, is that my daughter died from this disease 2 years ago last month. And I've got four beautiful adult grandchildren, you know, and I'm so, you know, grateful for that. But I couldn't help her. You know, somebody told me to pray for the intervention of a stranger, and I did that. And I tried my best just to show up and be a sober, you know, example to her, and she couldn't get it, and she died, you know. And people die from this disease all the time, and I never want to forget that. I never take it for granted. It's cunning, baffling, and powerful, and I will tell you, you don't have it. And I've seen that happen to people again and again and again, and they die. We got some pictures of gals up at the Alano Club in San Luis, and they're all gone because they could not, you know, constitutionally be honest with themselves, or however it's said in the big book. But anyway, to wrap this up so I don't take any of your time, is that, you know, I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I love the life it's given me. I've been through the good times, the bad times. I've had women hold me up. I've held women up. I've been to court. I've been to labor and delivery. I've been to divorce court and other court, and, you know, jails with people. You know, it's like, I love doing this stuff. This is the best thing, I didn't even imagine the life that I have today. So Alcoholics Anonymous gave me a life beyond my wildest dreams. And when I used to first hear that here, I thought, who are these people? You know, Seriously, they're sitting in the Solano Club in San Luis Obispo and this is it? You know, that's exactly what I thought, but I had no idea what I was gonna get. I had no idea what I was gonna be given by coming here. So every day I make a gratitude list. Somebody said, go back and do what you were doing in the early days of sobriety. So I started making gratitude lists every day again and sending them to girls and we share them all the time. And now somebody, a speaker, Rosie Thomas down in LA, told me, I write my letters to God. And I thought, well, that sounds like a different idea. And so I started writing letters to God. And she says, you will spend more time in contemplation if you're actually writing. And I find I've gone through 400 pages of journal writing to God every morning. And I have come to just love it because it's, you know, all of this together is going to help keep me here in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, none of this, I don't know what part of this I don't do. Meeting, service, prayer, meditation, service, helping another alcoholic, putting my hands out to another person. Which one of those things are the things that I stopped doing that I might go out around? So I do them all every day, and I've been doing them for over 31 years, and this is the best life. So if you're new or kind of new, I urge you, give us a chance. Just give us a chance. I guarantee you life will be better. I really, really do. And thank you. And thank you for asking me to lead, Jules, or speak tonight, Jules. I appreciate that. Love you guys.